coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
In Beirut, I was spoken to in French, in Arabic, and in English by people who assumed I was either French, because Lebanon was a French colony, people who thought I looked Middle Eastern enough to be speaking Arabic to. I'm not sure where they got that impression from, but I guess that does give you a good idea of just how similar we are, that there was nothing about me that signaled that I was that much different to them.
Walk the streets of any world city and it leaves an impression on you. As ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we get the unique opportunity to leave an impression as well, and one with eternal significance. Hi friends, Bram Floria here with Compassion Radio, the front lines journal of God's people in action. And today I'm pretty proud of two of those people, and for good reason. Not just because they're related to me, but because they answered the call and went straight into the heart of the trauma of war, learning from and ministering to the resilient women of the refugee population in Lebanon. For 2 weeks, they didn't just assess needs, they met them, carrying in relief supplies and leading trauma counseling workshops to help the hurting help others. I've asked them to sit for a conversation today about the people and the culture of Lebanon so that we'd understand better why this unique country is such a solid kingdom investment in difficult times. All this month, your support of Compassion Radio doesn't just support this broadcast. It will also help support direct relief work in Beirut following the devastating port explosion of August 4. Thank you for your above and beyond giving this month. You'll hear our contact info later in the broadcast. And now, to the discussion.
Today on Compassion Radio, we have a very special guest, our daughter, Dempsey Jorgensen. We're going to talk about our trip to Lebanon a couple years ago, just to get some perspective on the time that we spent there and what Lebanon, the country itself, came to mean to us in that brief time that we were there. Welcome to Compassion Radio, Dempsey.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here again.
Dempsey, I'm kind of excited to hear more about your trip to Lebanon, too, because we've heard little bits and pieces from you and the other people that were part of that team that went to do their research and get in the tents with the women who were in the refugee camps, places that us as men can't go. Sandy, Dempsey, tell us about what it was like to step into a country that is so full of refugees and so full of hope at the same time.
I'm not sure I really knew what to expect when we went to Lebanon. I think I had in my mind, knowing that we were going to go to a refugee camp, that it was going to be depressing and really sad, a terrible place. And I know that there are places in the world that refugee camps exist that are pretty terrible. What I was struck with was the order that these homes were in. And even though a couple of them, I believe, Dempsey, we were in, had dirt floors, they were swept so clean. The cushions and the rugs and everything were just in impeccable order. And the children were clean, and the women were attentive to them. I was a little shocked by that. I don't know how you felt about it, Dempsey, but that's what struck me.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing that goes into that is that these are women and these are families and these are children who left, for lack of a better term, very nice, affluent homes. I mean, maybe not by the same standards that Americans would consider, but they left homes that would have been very much in order and, you know, very put together and lovely. And they were homemakers just like I am in North Idaho and you are in Central Texas. When they got married, they worked hard to create an environment for their family to thrive in. And so it wasn't surprising to me when I considered that element of who they were. Of course, they would continue to do those things, although they lived in shacks made of tarps and plywood. Of course, they would continue to try to create a space for their families to thrive in because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm. I think especially about the one young woman that we met with who had taken in the children of her husband's brother. Do you remember the one that had two small children of her own and then she had taken in these other children? Just the care that she exhibited, the fortitude that she had. She was young. She was probably close to your age even, maybe in her mid-20s. She just had such a spirit of welcome about her, encouragement, and she was excited to have us in her home. It was really a special time, I think, just to see the way she spread the hospitality to us. It reminded me of times that we would have here in our own home where we would invite people in and have a cup of coffee. It just reminds me that there is so much sameness around the world. We're a lot the same.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
We share common dreams and common love for our children and our families and a common desire, like you said, Dempsey, to make a lovely space for our family. So that was a really neat thing for me to see. I think my expectation was not one of looking down on them, but just that I didn't know what to think we would come up against.
I would just add to that, too, that I think it would do them a disservice to say they are hospitable even like we are. I would honestly say they're better at it than we are. But they are more generous, more humble, more welcoming than any other American I've met besides refugees living here in America, to be quite honest. There's something about them that I aspire to be, quite honestly.
You're talking about the refugees that were being ministered to by the folks that were in Lebanon. I had the experience of talking with plenty of the Lebanese that have been there for many years, have been through civil wars. Most of them have a capacity for compassion because they've been through the same kind of things that these refugees are going through now. Did you notice any differences between the way the Lebanese express their hospitality and the way the folks in the refugee camps did?
I don't think I would say that there was all that much difference. We were in a couple of different homes, Dempsey and I particularly, before we went to the refugee camps. We were lavished upon, actually, when we went into both of the homes. We had dinner at one place with the pastor and his family. There was so much laughter and conversation and food that for just the two of us were invited there. But then other people started showing up as we were there too, other friends, and that was a lively time. And then the next day we had lunch with a gal that worked in a church there in Beirut, and she and her family were the same, giving us their time and just spending a lot of time with conversation and food and laughter, and it was very hospitable. So I don't know that there was a lot of difference in the way they looked at hospitality or the way they had people in their homes. Obviously, when we were in Beirut, the homes that we were in were actual buildings and not refugee tents. But I did notice, like Dempsey was saying, the generosity of the refugees was humbling to me because they didn't have a lot to offer, yet they were so generous in their offering to us.
So I do want to recognize the privilege that we had of being Americans coming in as people who were there with a stated purpose of coming to help and to understand and to give. And I do want to not gloss over the impact that that had on the hospitality that we received as well, because I know that there is a lot of internal strife within Lebanon, even between these two different groups of people that welcomed us in with open arms. Even those two groups of people have sometimes a difficult time welcoming each other into their own homes because of so much history of unrest and of pain that lies in a very small land that has touched very, very many people. So I do want to acknowledge that as well. And also saying that in order to highlight the extreme generosity and the extreme Christ-likeness of the people who we did meet who were reaching across those lines and who were doing the work of serving communities that they had historically been at odds with within their own countries. So that's also something that I noticed and I wanted to point out a little bit of nuance in.
Now, when you all went into Lebanon for the first time, what were you expecting, and how did the experience, not just with the people, but the place and the culture and the history and the modernity of it all, how did that surprise you?
This being the first time I had spent any real time in the Middle East, I think I expected to feel a bit more out of place than I did. I expected it to feel more like my times in India and in South Asia and places that were very, very foreign to me. I didn't feel that walking into Lebanon. I felt very safe. I felt very welcome. I felt very at home. I felt competent to navigate my way around. I don't know exactly what that says about any of those questions.
It's a pretty westward-leaning country. And so a lot of their systems are based upon British and French colonial rule back in the 1800s. But they are a very modern society that is very fluent in the cultures throughout the Gulf states, the Middle East, and Western Europe. So I experienced, too, that they were obviously a very multinational, multi-ethnic, and a very cosmopolitan country. So those things are very present there. And that's what surprised me, too, is how forward-looking and forward-acting and thinking the country was.
Well, I think the thing that was the most surprising to me was that while I was in Beirut, I was spoken to in French, in Arabic, and in English by people who assumed I was either French, because Lebanon was a French colonial territory or was a French colony, people who thought I looked Middle Eastern enough to be speaking Arabic to. I'm not sure where they got that impression from, but I guess that does give you a good idea of just how similar we are, that there was nothing about me that signaled that I was that much different to them, to most people that I interacted with.
Which is comforting and scary at the same time.
I was flattered by that.
I think I feel the same about it. It was very modern. I was struck by that and just the beauty of the city. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was right next to each other, there would be a mosque and a large Christian cathedral, Orthodox or something. They just coexisted so easily together. Lebanon is historically a Christian nation, they call it, which means different to them than it does to us, I understand here. But it was just a very fluid way that they walked through their society. It was not a threat or competition or anything like that. It was just, this is the mosque. This is where the Muslims attend their services and their worship. And this is the church. This is the Christian church where they attend and do their worship. And it was not a problem. There was no issue with that.
There was no fear of the other.
Exactly, exactly.
And of course, in the Bekaa Valley, it has been taken over politically by a sect that's called Hezbollah. We hear about that a lot in the news in the West. And it's specifically a sect within Islam, which is very Shia in its orientation. So it would be sponsored by Iran. The rest of the Muslims throughout the country would be mostly different brands of Sunni. And they're separated by different villages, but also by political parties. It really was interesting for me to step through and see how quickly things could change ethnically, linguistically, even the smells of restaurants that were in the areas. It's what you expect to see Chinatown meets all these other different parts of New York City crammed together in the same few blocks, but they really are very distinct populations.
But even in that, we saw that in the Bekaa Valley, the different groups of people worked well together. And the Christians would say, yes, the Muslims were very helpful in this situation, and we worked together to bring help to these people. And there was a definite divide. You could see, like, they knew when you crossed this street, you were in the Muslim area, or when you crossed that street, you were in the Christian area. But there was not a sense of, you may have a different one, Dempsey, than I do, but in my opinion, there was not a sense of competition or differentness. They were the same people. They just worshipped differently.
Yeah, I don't know that I have or I had quite enough experience or time in the community to really say for sure. I don't know that I might be the right person to speak to that. I would say that from my initial thoughts on my experience in Lebanon, I would say that there was a fear of the other that was missing that I think we experience and default to quite a bit here in the United States. Because we have separated ourselves, we have the luxury of being able to separate ourselves from those who worship differently, who look different, who think and act differently, who vote differently than us. And there definitely is a generosity of spirit that comes when you're not able to separate yourself from those who are different from you. You learn to live in a way that is really loving, really peaceful, really promoting the values that we say we hold to as followers of Christ.
Friends, before we jump back to today's interview, I just want to remind you that Compassion Radio is a communications ministry, and it depends on the faithful support of you to keep bringing inspiring stories to the air each day. Our vision partners support us monthly with gifts large and small, and make it possible for us to take you to the very front lines of faith. Whether you join our vision team or make a one-time gift, thank you for believing in and standing by this ministry. We're here to bring you real good news in every situation. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478 to make your gift and to request our special offer this month, the CD of Michael O'Brien's marvelous Crown Him music project, as our thank you. You can also text the word compassion to 53445 to give right through your phone, or visit our website, compassionradio.com. Thank you, friends, for everything you've done and what you'll do today. We love you. And now, back to the interview.
Learn to live in a way that is really loving, really peaceful, really promoting the values that we say we hold to as followers of Christ. And you discover, too, that those things are not completely absent from other communities that we might expect them to be.
Having been that close to conflict in recent years, I mean, those are your two options. Either make peace or you're at war nonstop.
Right.
There's not a lot of in between. What was your impression, ladies, about stepping into a country where there was so much refugee issue and population mixed in with a comparatively small country? As we understand the numbers, you're looking at maybe 5 to 6 million people in the entire country of Lebanon, and of those, about 1.5 to 2 million of them are refugees. So what was your impression stepping through? Because I was very surprised to see how much they were hidden, mm-hmm. and that just in the corner of fields there would be 10,000 people camped out, but you really wouldn't see them. They'd be in these tidy little camps like you all described. What was your impression about seeing that many, or perceiving that there was that many refugees right there in their midst?
I think since I knew that we were going for the specific purpose of meeting with refugee women, that I was maybe looking for them a little bit more, maybe preparing myself to see them. It didn't seem like it was overrun, even though there were, you know, a million or so of them there, you say. It didn't seem crowded to me. It seemed very open.
That's saying a lot, considering the country itself was only, as Sharon and I talked about recently, it's only about 2/3 the size of Connecticut. And the number of people that are living there are more than twice as many. So that there has a sense of openness or space to move around in is just as much, I think, a statement of the cultural values as it is about physical space.
Yeah, it made me think of how much more space we have in the United States and how much of a smaller capacity we think we have, or how we tend to be hesitant to spread resources thinner because we think there won't be enough. And to see such small spaces, to see such few resources being used really well to care for vastly larger numbers of people than I would have imagined, really made me think about the impact of what I have and what I can do, what our country can do with what we do have, and made me think about using those things a little more wisely and more efficiently.
What's your impression of the Christians that you met that are doing the work? I mean, we had the privilege of interviewing one of the girls that you got to meet while you were there, Trevina, telling us about her experience of losing her entire apartment and her school in the explosion, and that her first line of action was to go donate blood. That's the first responders kind of attitude, and that's the kind of people you got to work with while you were there in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. But what have you heard they've been going through since the tragedy of August 4th?
Well, my only real connection and hearing anything was in my conversation with Trevina. Hearing the urgency in her voice, knowing that she is not a flighty kind of girl. She's a very solid young woman, very reasonable in the way she presents herself. And to hear her urgency, it just caused me to really think how serious, not that I didn't think it was a serious situation, but to think how serious this situation really is and how urgent it is that these people need resources and they need help in rebuilding their lives. The people that we met when we were there, it's interesting because you talk about how there's an area where there are a lot of Syrian refugees where we spent the majority of our time. But there's also an area toward the southern end of Lebanon that has a lot of Palestinian refugees. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, the Christians were very divided on which group of refugees needed help the most.
Yeah, they were competing.
They were competing. But it just was like there was a group that said, oh, the Syrians are in the way and they're taking up too much resources. And then there were those that said the Palestinians are in the way and taking up too much resources. But yet each of those separate groups had passion for the refugees they served.
Yeah.
As an outsider looking in, I could say, well, you should love both groups, you know, because as a Christian, we should do that. But at the same time, I realize there are things that I am passionate about pursuing and about doing and people that I'm passionate about serving that others may not feel the same way about. It doesn't make them any less Christian than me or any less passionate than me. It's just a different set of values or a different passion that God has given you for a group of people. So I think the Christians that we met were very passionate about serving the groups of people that God had called them to serve. Knowing that those groups of people are in great despair now, great distress, it's saddening to me because I know that they were already stretched very thin with their resources. So now having to even find more resources to serve people who were, you know, caught in this explosion is a hard thing to do.
Most other relief work that's happened in Lebanon, it's one of the rare places on the earth where it is primarily driven by private funds and private initiative. The UN and the other World Health Organizations and entities that would normally take on great crises have not really been directly involved so much with the needs there in Lebanon. There are a lot of reasons for that. Part has to do with some of the corruption that was happening within the government, other things having to do with the limited amount of space to work with, and also that there were so many charitable organizations, both Muslim and mostly Christians, they were already doing things that they became the front line, are still the front line, in serving them. But it also means that the onus is on the church more than ever to step up and be the church. And that's where the struggle comes in, because so many of them are now out of work with the economic collapse, and now the economic base they had within Beirut has been devastated, and yet they're still plugging away. What would be your prayers for Lebanon, ladies? From the people you met, the things you saw, what God's laid on your heart since you were there, and what you know of the country since, how would you be encouraging those who have not traveled to a place like this to be praying for what God wants to do there?
Well, I think my prayers for Lebanon have been and will continue to be along the lines of some of the things we've been talking about unity and about the willingness to work together with people who may be different or believe differently. I pray that for the Christians as well as the Muslims that I met in Lebanon and for the other religious groups and ideological sects that we interacted with there. I think just by coincidence of circumstance and space, they've been forced to figure out how to work together in the past, as I alluded to. But I think that's been my biggest prayer now, is that the things that don't matter in the light of eternity would be put aside. That the Christians would recognize there are certain things they don't need to hold on to so tightly, and that the service of those who are hurting and the love and the care for those who are in need would come first. I pray that in line with what I have already seen there, and I pray that that spirit would be strengthened and that that resolve would be honored and would be granted by God just more power and more strength behind it, that as God's people rise up to love and to serve, that the Spirit of God would rise up with them and bring peace and unity and all the other kinds of healing that that land needs so desperately would come right along with it.
I think for me, the thing that I've been praying, especially since my conversation with Trevina and Belinda Bauman a few days ago, would be just that God would continue to provide for them in every way possible. One of the things that I was so encouraged about was when Trevina said that there was a group of refugees that they had been working with, a group of women that were consistently coming to the center that they have in Zahle, in the Baqaa Valley, had volunteered to go to Beirut to help the citizens of Beirut. These are refugee women and their families that want to go and help. That really overwhelmed me. I just thought, these people really have very little in the way of material things to give, to use to help anyone, but they wanted to give their time. And so I think the thing that I have been praying for them especially is that God would provide for them as they sacrifice, as they give what they have to serve the people of Beirut, just for their continued strength. From what Trevina said, they are constantly going back and forth between the Baqaa Valley and Beirut. And it's about a 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah, about 70 miles over the top of the ridge and back down.
Yeah. So it's a back and forth thing. They rotate groups. They have groups that go every day. So it is a very big endeavor. I just pray for their persistence, their strength, and their provision.
Well, I think there's nothing like actually traveling to someplace and meeting the people and finding out that you actually love them to make it more imperative to do something when you find out there's a need. You've already crossed the miles. You've met people. It's like a second home to you now. So thinking about them and praying for them and being able to tell their story and to want to help is so much easier because you've been there. The burden we have as communicators is to bring these stories to our Compassion Radio listeners so that they can enter into the story with us and enjoy it like we have. And then when the time comes to help serve, that they would have the enjoyment of serving along with us in the times of need as God opens it up to us to be part of. I'm just very glad that we get to be part of ministries that love Jesus, do their work in His name, speak His name everywhere they go, and live like Jesus lived, and that we have the privilege of getting to know them personally along the way. So thank you, ladies, for being able to give a little bit of an insight to what it's like to be there and the kind of people that these Christians are and the kind of people these Christians are serving. We need to be praying for them as often as God brings it to our hearts and minds. Thank you both again so much for sharing your stories today. We'll check in with you later. And maybe we'll have some other good, happy, encouraging stories come out of all this reconstruction we've been hearing about. And as you all hear the news from your friends over in Lebanon, I hope you'll let me know so we can get on the air and talk about it some more.
Glad to be here.
Yes.
Remember, friends, your giving this month doesn't just support this unique media ministry. Every dime beyond our baseline budgeting is going to support the relief and rebuilding efforts in Beirut, Lebanon, led by wonderful Christian ministries already on the ground and doing tremendous work. I strongly encourage you to give above and beyond this month so we can make the most impact possible. There is so much to be thankful for, even in hard times. Right now, I'm very thankful for you. Your gift of time each day is a genuine treasure to us. Knowing that you're being challenged to live out your faith like never before is a wonderful encouragement to us as well. I hope you'll take time today to drop us a note through our website or by email. You can reach me directly at the following address, bramfloria@compassionradio.com. However you reach out, know that we're in this ministry and this work for you and because of you. Just call or write us today to help keep us on the air and in the field. Call 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com. We're waiting for you, friends. Hop on board.